Hello, grandkids. Welcome to an edition of Stunt Granny Audio. Wow, that was anticlimactic. Welcome to an edition. Welcome to a show. This is Eric and Dusty. What's going on, Dusty?
I'm doing just fine.
Yeah.
Number 112, my friend.
Yeah, hell yeah. You're doing fine in the 09, but it's 10.
Hey, that reference was still 2000 and late.
God damn. Oh, that's fucking great. Thank you, Fergie, for giving us that reference. So, Dusty, I'm calling you from the great city of Des Moines, Iowa.
Yes, you are.
I've officially
You're
moved
driving
here.
In your automobile?
Yeah, I drive. My baby's not beside me at the wheel. She can give a shit that I'm doing a podcast.
And your appearance does not amuse me when you're driving in your automobile.
Wave to the people. Blow them kisses. Everybody, it's the boy who laughs at you. Laugh at the boy.
That's awesome.
So, I hear you were watching TV earlier, and Des Moines was the feature of the day on a particular television show called Cops.
Indeed. I always watch Cops, just like my college advisor, Dr. James Van Dyke, who deserves a shout-out.
Nice.
If I've never given him a shout-out before, he is a fucking brilliant man.
Yeah.
And just like him, I will watch any show with flashing police lights. So, every time there's nothing else on, you can be sure that G4 or True TV has Cops on. So,
nice.
Yeah, and they were in Des Moines, Iowa for this episode, and the officer's name was Joe Morgan.
At which point, I immediately wrote off that episode because I can't
stand
Joe Morgan.
Oh my God, just vile anger and hatred.
Yeah, most people I'm sure listening know who the Joe Morgan that we hate is, the analyst from ESPN, the fucking awful baseball announcer.
He's a fucking clown.
Yeah.
And even though the site never gets updated anymore, they put it under a few years ago, I still say Fire Joe Morgan is the greatest website of all time.
It is. All the best anecdotal and empirical evidence that this asshole needs to go.
Yeah. And Mushnick even wrote about him one time.
Good. And we all know he only writes about seedy underbellies.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So
fucking Joe Morgan is the barnacle on the seedy underbelly of
No, I just think it's fascinating that he is a Hall of Fame baseball player, but he could not, in no way whatsoever, would he be able to tell you why.
Yeah.
He has no idea. What made him a good baseball player?
That's right. Wonder if his glove fits today. I don't know. Like, we rant and rave just as much as he does, and we're fucking broke.
Yeah.
We're like George Costanza. I could get a job as a baseball announcer, and then Jerry's like, usually they give those jobs to people with broadcasting degrees or ex-ball players. I would much rather see George Costanza in that seat than Joe Morgan.
Seriously, I don't get why they wouldn't give it to, like, just some fan, you know?
Huh, yep.
Some fan with a computer, so he knows what he's talking about, you know?
You know, if you think about it, baseball announcing is a lot like professional wrestling. Joe Buck, you know, Joe Buck is Jack Buck's son, so there's a second generation thing there. Skip Carey and Harry Carey, I mean, it's a lot of old boy networking and keeping in the family.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And then, yeah, and then the old wrestlers and the old ball players, you know, they covet their territory and step on everybody to keep their spot.
And I'm sorry, Jason, if you're listening, but I can't stand Hawk. I'm sorry. 3-0 good guys. No, fuck yourself, you know? Shut the fuck up.
Ouch. Oh, my goodness. So did anybody get arrested in a cool way on Cops from Des Moines?
Yeah, no, shit. You know how, like, there's got to be some criminal, like, fucking to-do list, right? Because they all do the same thing, okay?
Yeah.
So this guy was speeding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if he had just pulled over and taken the speeding ticket, he might not have owed anything, you know? Maybe they'd have let him gone, right?
Right.
But he fucking beats it out of there, you know, going like twice the legal speed limit. And he's like driving into people's yards and then back out onto the road and shit.
Oh,
and like
God.
One wheel is dangerously wobbling and the muffler is dragging and making a sparking thing, right?
Yeah.
So, and he keeps like doing the into yards and back out onto the road thing, and he's going in basically a square around the city block.
Uh-huh.
You know, he keeps making left turns. And eventually I think he actually parked in somebody's driveway instead of just pulling over to the side of the road.
Oh, great.
And then takes off, right? Because that's the other thing they always do is take off running, right?
Yeah, check.
But this guy, usually they catch you after two or three steps. But this guy made it like half a block before they tackled him.
Probably.
So I thought that was pretty impressive.
It's probably because he was an East Sider on meth.
Indeed.
Okay. East Side of Des Moines is white trash. I don't care who from the East Side of Des Moines is listening, you're white trash.
You might as well be fucking Fort Dodge or something. You're trash.
Fair shit. That's like, I don't know, man. That's like bum fights. I would love to just pit everybody from Fort Dodge against everybody from the East Side of Des Moines in a battle of where the losers die and the winner dies.
I was just going to say that. If you could throw a part of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin in there, too, that'd be greatly appreciated.
All right, we're going to put police tape around all these places. That's going to be our fighting ring.
You can't go in or you can't leave. You're stuck. You're just in your little area and leave me alone.
That's right. We'll get the Department of Corrections van to transport you to the various locations for your bouts. They're all going to be Taipei death matches, too, if we can handle it.
Nice. Ian Rutten is a special referee for all these major bouts.
Yeah. Goddamn trash, anyway. So he was apprehended, and he was obviously thrown in the back of the sedan. Did he put up a fight at that point?
I mean, it was hard to get him down and keep him down, but, you know, basically at that point you're done, you know?
Yeah.
When there's two officers on you and one hovering over him, you're done, you know?
Yep.
So there was that one, and then, like, the other one that stands out in my head was this guy, like, put a bag of coke down his pants, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, right in front of an undercover officer. So the undercover officer obviously, like, you know, comes over and grabs him, like, right away, right?
Uh-huh.
And the guy's like, you do that for everybody? And the cop's like, for everybody I see stuffing coke down their pants, yes. Yes, I do. Oh, man.
God. And considering he was probably another piece of East Side white trash wearing some fucking get tight guest jeans, then I think the bag of coke would have been pretty obvious.
Yeah. It was like right there, you know, the guy, he just like reached in and grabbed it, you know?
Yeah, like fucking
like
Abra Kadabra,
he's
going to reach
down
and grab you.
Okay. Yeah.
That was awesome.
Nice.
Okay. Oh, Lord. Well, good.
You know, at some point tonight, you got to make a Nails impersonation and we'll be batting 1,000.
All right. Sounds good. Well, shit. It's too bad it's so obvious that fucking... If Nails would have been the third guy arrested on cops, they drive 90 miles north and fucking west up to Fort Dodge where Nails wrestled in 1993 in my high school gym.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
We understand. Well, you've, whatever. We have warrants out. You violated your probation. You haven't paid that parking ticket out in front of the flower shop.
A couple of overpaid parking tickets.
Yeah, right. You're going to arrest me for things I did not do.
Tremendous. Brilliant.
Well, that's good that there are now three people out there who aren't going to shop at the fucking Quick Trip on 30th and University. Because fuck fucking Eastside.
Okay, so you are kind of in upheaval right now because you got a new job, right?
Yes, but I'm working my way toward downheaval. I'm sorry. Let me try that again without laughing out loud. I'm working my way toward downheaval.
Indeed.
And then I'm slowly settling into the Des Moines scene. I got my job here working for Gannett, which is the newspaper chain that owns the Des Moines Register. I'm working in the Des Moines Register building for a team of marketing gurus who are reaching out to our advertisers to say, hey, you know, let's show you some goodwill by trying to get you on TV and radio and the internet. And
right.
I'm the internet specialist of this group. I'm the guy who gets to plan out the blogging schedule and the best techniques for Facebook and the most effective ways to go about Twitter. And yeah, so that's my job right now.
Okay. Did you see the clip I posted of Bill Hicks?
No. Where did you post that on the forum?
Yeah, right under your post talking about your new job. Bill Hicks had a little clip about marketing people.
Oh, God.
I bet you sleep well at night. Like, hey, honey, I figured out a way to market arsenic to kids. Well, good night.
He's so fucking great. God, I know there were plenty before Bill Hicks, Lenny Bruce, and fucking subversive types like the Smothers Brothers, and
yeah,
you know, even Bill Richard Pryor. But man, without Bill Hicks, there would be no Doug Stanhope.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you can say that about a bunch of guys right now, but thank God for Bill Hicks. What a treasure that guy was.
What I liked, I didn't know about him until just the other day. I'm reading about him. He used to fake his own assassination at the end of his shows.
That's right, yep.
Yep, that's brilliant.
That's so classic.
Yep.
He was just taking, I mean, he wasn't taking, sorry, but in that subversive sort of way. I mean, Andy Kaufman was funny in his way, and Bill Hicks was funny in his way.
Yep.
But I wouldn't hesitate to liken those two to each other. I mean, it's cerebral comedy, just in different ways.
Right. Not for everyone, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. And whereas I still feel like Andy Kaufman faked his own death, Bill Hicks did it every night.
Oh, faking your own death.
Hmm. that's a conspiracy episode for a totally different edition.
We need to do, by the way.
Yeah, I agree. The Paul is Dead episode.
Yeah, we need to do that.
Yeah. Well, hey,
we need to do a documentary interviewing that fucking Italian guy who runs the Paul is Dead message board.
That's right.
That guy's a fucking fruit loop and a half, man.
I would like that. That'd be a fun. It'd be something that a lot of people have explored on the surface, like you said, but it'd be fun to get in depth in a conversation. Because, I mean, the Beatles, Christ, you know, everyone loves the Beatles, generally speaking. But it's just something that a lot of people don't talk about.
I really think it would be hard to find somebody who hates the Beatles.
Yeah. Yeah, like people say you're either a Beatles person or an Elvis person, or they say you're either a Beatles person or a Stones person.
Yeah.
But I think if you're not a Beatles person, you don't hate them.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. Yeah. That'd be impossible to hate the Beatles.
I really think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like fucking... just a modern day, the most obvious example ever. You can hate Nickelback.
Oh, and I do.
And you should. Everybody should. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be a fun episode, though. And a fun documentary that once I buy my HD flip cam, we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right,
my God.
There. So, I guess we should talk about some wrestling now.
I suppose, which is funny because I'd much rather talk about the stuff that we have been talking about. I watched Monday Night Raw, and I don't remember anything from it.
All right. Well, I'm going to leave the discussion here because you're in your automobile, your vehicular.
My room right now. I'm in my room.
Yeah, okay. Go to your room, young man.
Okay.
Okay, first things first. Do you think how special is 900 episodes?
Not at all.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. It's so, like, disingenuous that they're comparing themselves to Friends and NYPD Blue and MASH. It's just, it's not fair.
Yeah.
Not
they,
smart. Mm-hmm.
Those shows have off seasons.
Yeah.
Those shows take summers off.
Mm-hmm.
Also, and speaking of disingenuous, Michael Cole, I mean, I know they get to write their own history, but Michael
yeah.
Cole repeatedly saying 900 consecutive episodes.
It's not.
No. Even
that drove me crazy. The dog show. The dog show.
The tennis shit, the U.S. Open.
Yep.
There were weeks that they couldn't do a Thursday Raw Thursday.
Right.
They tried some. They did some. They mostly, I don't think they did most. I mean, no, it's not even factual.
No. Mm-hmm.
So,
horribly
yeah,
incorrect. I kept screaming dog show at my TV, you know?
And the neighbors started worrying about you.
The neighbors are too drunk for that fucking piece of shit. Anyway.
Anyway.
Can't be bothered to take care of your dog for a fucking day. Anyway. Alright, so the opening segment, Bret Hart comes out talking about how he and The Undertaker are the last remaining sole survivor people from the first Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because he mentions the word Undertaker, Kane comes out, and fucking Kane is awesome right now.
Yeah, he is.
Fuck you if you don't agree. You goddamn message board fucking parrots. You hate everything. You don't fucking count.
I hated Kane for a long time, but that's because he wasn't doing this awesome stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Apparently he has the capability to be great, and he is, and I'll eat my words, and I'll eat my hat.
Yep. And it makes me want to see Kane versus Undertaker, even though I know it's going to be horrible.
Yep.
But I still want to see it because it's so interesting.
Yep.
So Kane comes out, and there's a whole rigmarole. And then the fucking general manager thing. Have we talked about that?
I don't think you and I have talked about it, this tone.
Okay,
and
what do you
Cole.
Think? Who do you think it is?
Well, I think the latest thing might be a red herring, but I've noticed Michael Cole at least once, if not twice,
mm-hmm.
in two episodes of Raw has been talking and just pontificating on a point and will say, and I quote, Bret
yeah.
Hart is a former world champion or something like that.
Yep.
Like, oh, is he trying to slip that in there to make us think that he's the general manager, or because he will be revealed as a general manager?
Me and Beck think he is.
I think he is, too. I mean, it's the easiest answer right now.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'd be okay with that. Honestly, I'm to a point where they just need to get this over with.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd be happy to just find out who it is, and if I find out that it's Michael Cole, I'll be happy with that, too.
Yep, same here. I think I'm over 50% on Cole, and the rest is McMahon, if I had to put money down.
Yep.
But yeah, then they make a match, Hart versus Undertaker, even
uh-huh.
though Undertaker had just helped Hart against Kane. I hate
yeah.
that. I hate
yeah.
it. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
There needs
well.
To be a purpose for every match that happens.
Yes.
This was just basically, well, here's two guys.
All right.
Let's have them fight.
It would be different if one of them was the Brooklyn Brawler. But
right.
jobber
yeah.
squash matches are about the only ones that can happen with no reason.
Yeah, that I don't care about. I mean, these are two big-name guys. This could mean something, you know?
Right.
Make it be a reason for them fighting.
Yeah, the only way they can get away with what they did, which was inevitably to not have that match happen, is
yeah.
because they didn't advertise it in advance. You know, like
right.
we've come pretty full circle on this bait and switch concept that pervaded, or oh my God, that's not the word I'm looking for. Is it?
Say what?
How? I don't know what the fucking word is I'm looking for. You know how I get when I do these audios. I get all nervous and I can't talk.
Yeah, you're very shy. Yeah.
I am. I need to come out of my shell.
Mm-hmm.
the bait and switch tactics that happened during the Monday Night Wars that were such a big deal because things would be advertised and then wouldn't be given to us.
Right.
Now that the Monday Night Wars are over, it's a little bit safer, and WWE realizes what they're doing. They might be turning off fans. Now they
right.
come to a point where it's okay to say at the beginning of a show, not like a week in advance, but at the beginning
right.
of a show, this will happen. And then halfway
yep.
through the show, do an angle to get out of it.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I can buy that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we got there.
Okay. Yeah, then they show a bunch of clips of shit. And then we had the tag team match. Kofi and McGillicuddy, The Miz and Alex Riley, and then the Internet Dream Team, Bryan Danielson and Loki.
Yes.
Which really ended with the right guys winning.
Yeah, that's true.
Miz and Riley, yep.
Yeah, but really, I think the big story coming out of it is WWE teasing us with Daniel Bryan and Caval as a tag team.
Right. Right.
And I want to talk more about that when we talk about Caval winning NXT, so I'll hold that thought.
Uh-oh. Under our hat. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the hat that I eat.
And all right, next match was a women's match. All I want to say is that Lake Fool is really cool. They're really awesome. Great gimmick.
I you know what? I like them more than people who say that they're a horrible, beautiful people ripoff. I think that they are a beautiful people ripoff, but I like their gimmick.
Right.
And I've gone on record, I've said it before on the audio, that I think they're good at what they do. They have good timing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They never talk over each other. They whenever they say a word at the exact same time or are supposed to, they do. They
right.
nail it.
Yeah, yeah. Look, even though Badfinger is basically a Beatles ripoff band, Baby Blue is an awesome song, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I have nothing against Lay Cool, honestly. I really don't. And we can continue to make fun of Michelle McCool for being Undertaker's wife, but she's come into her own in the last year or so.
I still think she's the ugliest hot chick I've ever seen.
Nice.
There's no way I'd touch her. You know, if I had my choice of anybody, I'd
yeah.
never think of her, you know? Ever.
Good call, yeah.
So.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and then after the match, they had a promo against Melina. Fucking Melina!
God.
Smiling the entire time! The big, toothy fucking grin! Because she doesn't know how to be a babyface.
She doesn't even look like she knows how to smile, man.
The smile is the most awkward thing. I'm yelling again. I'm sorry. I apologize. But it fucking angers me. She's terrible now.
Yeah.
She used to be the fucking hottest fucking woman I've ever seen, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And they just ruined it.
Much like Jim Cornette said about Sonny, she's a cunt.
She's a cunt. She's a heinous fucking cunt. And I fucking love her.
Yeah, right, exactly. So just fucking be one.
Yeah.
But whatever, they try to shove her down our throats.
She's not natural as a baby face. She's not comfortable. She can't smile naturally. So why make her?
Yeah, just let her be miserable. And let us be miserable.
Well, we're more miserable now watching her.
Well, yeah, yeah, no, exactly. Rather she be miserable than we be miserable.
Yeah.
So let her, yeah, Jesus.
Oh, instant messages. all right. So, let's see, bunch of promos and stuff we don't really need to talk about. Jericho teasing that he's going to do something great later in the show, which he did.
Was that the same point where he teased that Night of Champions, if he didn't win the belt, that he'd be done?
It sure was. It was the very same promo.
Prediction. What do you think of that, Dusty?
Used to. That would mean he's winning for sure.
Yeah.
And I fully support that.
Yep.
So,
however,
I'm going to go with it.
Okay. I think that we're in the era of the curveball. Not the
sure.
swerve necessarily, but I think Jericho loses, throws a hissy fit, possibly attacks somebody, a babyface, in the match, possibly to even cost them. 6 months down the road, Jericho comes back and has a built-in program with whoever he beat up.
Yeah.
But I think that he comes out on Monday night and cuts a scathing promo on the crowd. Possibly, I don't know. There's also a twist that I had in mind where he comes out and he cuts a very short, but you can tell it's heartfelt promo, not meant to be a babyface, yet somehow gets cheered, gets the Y2J chant on his way out.
Sure.
So you're not sure. But then when he does come back around WrestleMania time, then he'll be a heel and go after Cena or Orton or somebody like that.
Okay.
I don't think he wins. I think either Sheamus retains or somehow or other, I don't know if it's time yet, but I could see Wade Barrett winning, but I'd rather see Sheamus win, to be honest.
Sure. I'm really on the Wade Barrett bandwagon. I love the guy. So.
Yeah.
I would support that.
Well, and the nice thing is, honestly, if he won, then maybe we could get some fucking finality to this GM thing and this what was the greater good thing with Nexus.
Yeah.
It's time to wind that up. We need to get past it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, I got something to say about Barrett, but that'll come a little bit later.
Okay.
So we can move on to... Morrison and R-Truth against Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. Look, if you don't have time for a match, don't do that.
Yeah.
And if you can't think of a finish for a match, don't book it.
Yeah, what did it last, 47 seconds?
It was under a minute. It was like 50 seconds or something.
Jesus, what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
Put it on Superstars, man.
Yeah. Oh, this match... we didn't have time for on Raw, but you're going to get a special treat, you know?
Well, shit,
how
I
hard
mean,
is that?
Yeah, it's like any other, you know, I don't know, like the TV time remaining thing back in the day, or putting the world title match on halfway through a show, but then we've got the special TV title match with Iron Sheik versus Ranger Ross, you know. Do that and just say, oh, shit, well, we got a main event. We don't know how much time we have, so we're going to hold off on this special tag team match until Superstars tune in on Thursday on WGN. Jesus, like it would be below them to promote their own show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, that one I didn't like. all right, next thing we need to talk about is Brett versus Undertaker. You know, and Kane came out and Wade Barrett came out, right?
Yeah.
But here's what bothered me, tying it into the Wade Barrett thing.
Yeah.
They got it exactly right later in the show with CM Punk. I'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But Wade Barrett has cronies, so they can get beat up for him, you know?
Right, yes.
But instead, Barrett was the one who came to the ring first, and then the cronies came in later. Completely ass-backwards booking there.
Yes. You'd have never seen Raven in WCW come out first.
Yeah.
Saturn and Kidman and fucking Hammer would have come out first.
Right.
Yep.
Raven might not have even ever gotten to the ring. Why would he have to?
Yeah, no shit. In fact, he probably wouldn't have at all. He probably just would have. Or if he would have gotten to the ring, he just would have sat in the corner.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
And Saturn gets his ass kicked, and Kidman gets his ass kicked, and Laban bails out, or whatever, you know?
Yeah. You know why? Because you want people to pay to see them get their comeuppance at a pay-per-view.
Thank you. So while I appreciate Barrett's interaction with big-name people, I think the booking was ass backwards there. Although it did end in a Kane-orchestrated beatdown where Barrett's cronies kicked the shit out of him and Baker tried to sit up and collapsed back down and Kane laughed maniacally and Brett just sort of disappeared.
Which is okay. Brett was the pawn in this whole thing.
Yeah.
Brett was the bait to get people to watch the segment, but... the storyline had to do with Nexus, which is fine.
Yep, yep. The Bumblebees. Any other thoughts on that, or can I move on here?
You know, is there still any possibility that Bret Hart has something to do with Nexus? We still don't know that they actually attacked him, because he pulled that bullshit with McMahon. You know, the whole pretend being run over by a limo in Des Moines, Iowa. Cops weren't there, sorry.
Indeed.
You know, maybe it was Bret, and maybe it was Bret's decision to book himself in a match with Undertaker to get Undertaker down to the ring so that Nexus would jump him.
Aha!
Just a thought. Throwing it out there.
Now you're thinking.
thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I went back and listened
to it. Macho Man might be the greatest, but he's still thinking.
Yeah. Look at my awesome action figure, yeah. I went back and listened to Tickle My Balls with Madness the other day. I was pretty proud of that one.
Nice. Next thing that happened was fucking useless fucking piece of shit fucking waste of human tissue fucking cum-stained haired Jack Swagger taking on Evan Bourne.
Fucking beating Evan Bourne after Evan Bourne has proven himself to be the most awesome dude in ages. And fucking Jack Swagger is the failed experiment of 2010.
Yeah.
Jack Swagger.
Like I said in my solo audio, it's fucking embarrassing that they have to say that he's a former world champion.
Oh, my God. Sad. That's really pathetic. He is, like, I know he's got more talent than this, but, I mean, fucking, he's the fucking Kenzo Suzuki of 2010.
Yeah, he is.
Except they didn't give, they're smart enough not to give Kenzo Suzuki the belt.
Right. They came to their senses in time. But fucking Swagger comes to the ring cutting a promo, and it's like this monotone, charismaless, boring, I don't know what the fuck he was saying. You know, it's like...
I am a two-time All-American, American.
All-American, yeah.
Yeah.
And Evan Bourne is in the ring, you know, like, hey, I'm the next Ricky Morton. Why don't they fucking push me?
Yeah, I'm the next fucking incredible fucking worker on the national scene.
Yeah.
God damn it.
So, okay, so Jack Swagger winning in like 2 minutes really pissed me off and gave me severe gas. But that was lessened by what happened during the match, which was the most amazing thing that's ever happened in wrestling history.
Which was?
Alberto Del Rio coming to the ring in his car.
In his car,
and being announced by his personal announcer.
Yes. That's awesome.
And, honking on the horn of his car while he's driving down, mind you.
Yes.
And then, basically made himself the show instead of Jack Swagger's pedestrian fucking offense that I could do with 1 minute of training.
Nice. Yeah,
and,
I did like to establish.
So,
I did like that they tried to establish a SmackDown guy on Raw. I like that they did the dual segment thing and the split screen, you know, and, like, it's cool. It's cool that they're, you know.
He carries himself like a star.
Yes. That's
true. Carries himself like he's been there forever, like he belongs.
Yep, which is exactly what SmackDown needs right now. They need more stars, and they need somebody who can carry themselves like a star and who looks like one when they do.
Right.
And fucking little boy Jack Swagger is not that.
No. And Jack Swagger, he might be my least favorite wrestler right now. I can't stand the guy. What does he bring to the table? If I want to watch a Kurt Angle match, I'll watch TNA, you know?
Yeah, no shit. And if I wanted, no comparison that anybody has ever made with Jack Swagger has been accurate. He's not fucking Kurt Angle. He's not Brock Lesnar. He's a fucking waste.
He's a waste. He's horrible.
Yep. When he won Money in the Bank, everybody in the room that I was in was just like, what?
Yeah, it's like, what?
That's not the reaction you want.
Right. It wasn't even really anger. It was just like, really?
Yeah, it was disbelief.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah. I want to suspend my disbelief.
Yeah. So fucking then after the match, Del Rio gets on the mic and he's awesome some more. And then he kicks Bourne's ass with the arm breaker thing.
Yes.
I think it's an arm lock. It's an arm lock, I think, not an arm bar.
Right, yeah. That'd be a good one.
And then for some reason, Mark Henry makes the save, but I guess they need some, like, mediocre babyface that he can beat in the meantime, so.
Right, yeah. Which is weird, because it was, like, a big inter-promotional segment. So who knows, maybe on the 1,000th episode of Raw, Albert Del Rio will get his revenge against Mark Henry.
Nice. Alright, a bunch of stuff happens, and then CM Punk happens.
Yes, I'm glad every time CM Punk happens, it makes my fucking heart sing.
Mm-hmm. My first instinct was, it's a shame that Joey Mercury's always hurt.
I know.
He'd
especially
be awesome.
The things,
if he could have a long spurt of healthiness, he'd be fucking awesome.
Yeah, we know how good he is. And
mm-hmm.
I couple that with all the nice things that Steve MHW has said about him.
Yeah. Yep.
And it makes me like the guy even more and want to pull for him even more.
Sure.
Yep. Yeah, I'm ready for him to be healthy. So long, Serena, though.
Yeah. If it was for drinking, that's pathetic.
Yeah.
Last I checked, drinking is legal, fuckheads.
Right. I'm pretty sure
and
too
the genie got taken out of the bottle a long fucking time ago, so if it was because she wasn't living the gimmick, that's an unacceptable reason.
Yeah, somebody said, and I can't remember, I think it was an ROH shoot, something about CM Punk, like, let's say that he really wasn't straight edge in real life and somebody ever caught him drinking a beer.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I play a straight edge character on television.
Right.
There's nothing, oh my God. Yeah, living the gimmick, we're so far, that's fucking kayfabe. Jesus Christ, what is this, fucking 1972?
Look, as much as I hate it and as much as I'm a purist, that's it.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's gone.
Yeah. It is.
So that's an unacceptable reason to fire somebody. It's not right.
Unless she got drunk and beat up her husband, who was a former Intercontinental Champion in 08.
Oh. Well, maybe she'll die face down in a pizza.
Oh, fucking God.
Awesome.
I told Max that, and he was incredulous.
It is the most dignified wrestler death I can think of.
Nice. Yeah, Louis Spicoli's trying to come back to life so he can redo it.
Yeah, Crash Holly.
Which actually, God, that reminds me. That reminds me of, okay, so Max and I, We like to sing little songs to the tune of Zoot Suit Riot, which,
nice.
For those people who don't remember, was Zoot Suit Riot, throw back a bottle of
Riot.
Beer. Yeah, Zoot Suit Riot, a pull a comb through your coal black hair, right?
Right.
So we're driving through downtown Des Moines, and we see some bums on the side of a bridge.
Yeah.
And we start singing, like, downtown bummy, fishing for your lunch. And one of them was wearing a flannel shirt, and Max cracked himself up. He goes, downtown bummy, I like your shirt, do you listen to grunge?
Okay.
And so anyway, nice. I can imagine Louis Spicoli as Rad Radford doing that.
Indeed.
Okay, sorry.
All right, so CM Punk cuts an amazing promo.
Yes.
Which was actually just an excuse to show old clips. But whatever.
Okay. Yep.
Great promo. Name drops Katie Vick.
And then he tells everyone to YouTube it.
Yep, YouTube it. Actually, you should not YouTube it. If you don't know what it is, just don't.
Ignorance is bliss in this case.
And, Big Show comes out after he makes a semi-sophisticated fat joke. By the way, criminally obese. It's pretty fucking funny. and then Big Show kicks his ass or something. And actually, here is where I'm tying it in with the Wade Barrett thing. He did not kick CM Punk's ass. Punk David Copperfield is the fuck out of there. and he kicked Luke Gallows ass. That's the way it should be.
That is. That's the whole point of pairing guys up with, pairing up main eventers with lesser wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. So they got it right once.
Yep. Well, they're one for two there, but that's
there
fine. At which point in the show, I remember I wrote this down, but I'm reading Wade's review, so it's here too. Wade thought it was funny as well. Michael Cole bragging up the mind-boggling 900th episode.
Oh my God. This fucking guy is
mind-boggling, Cole. Okay.
I feel like he's from, like, one of his ancestors' name was Roger, and he fucking, like, thinks he's the world's greatest human thesaurus. He's got a fucking new superlative for every single occasion.
Right.
And none of them are ever appropriate.
Yep.
Mind-boggling. Jesus. Like, every single week, like, the fucking snide attack by, I don't know, the fucking ungodly beatdown by Nexus of Bret Hart.
Yep.
He's always so far off base with that shit.
Oh, man.
The swashbuckling comeback.
Paul Burchill with the swashbuckling comeback.
Oh.
I hope to God he doesn't make a comeback, by the way.
Yep.
So then it was time for the main event. And, Sheamus cuts a promo, blah, blah, blah. The first two eliminations were awesome because Jericho just walks out immediately. And then Edge pushes the referee, who, by the way, was not being fair. He was not calling the match down the middle.
Baby.
So
Daddy.
I totally
Sorry.
Agree with Edge for that.
Yeah.
So that brings it down to 5-3 right off the bat.
Yep.
Did you like that? Did you like the way they booked that? Because I sure did.
You know what? Yes, but I'm already kind of tired of the Jericho Edge on the fence and then fighting for themselves. It's like, fool me once, shame on you. It's another hurdle that they need to just fucking jump. Quit staring at it and just jump the fucking hurdle. Quit holding your poop and shit while you're on the pot.
Right. I can dig that.
So, actually, that's another reason why I'd be okay with Jericho taking time off. Because at least it would keep them from booking him in the same retread angles and stories every week. He's still the fucking best out there, but, give him some time off. Freshen him up.
Yeah, freshen things up. I totally agree with that. I just hate the idea of people who are going to face each other wrestling or teaming up. I hate that idea.
Yep. Me too.
Why would they do that? Why would Shane team with Orton and Cena? Why?
Yeah, same reason Bret Hart would wrestle Undertaker. Don't actually know.
Right. To me, it's little things, but they're unacceptable.
Yeah.
There has to be some kind of logic to what you're doing.
Yep.
And that makes no sense.
Yep.
So. Anywho. We'll get through the rest of this here.
Sure.
Everybody takes turns beating down Sheamus, and then he gets pinned. Weird.
Which is a terrible way to book your world champion who's catching fire and is totally awesome, but okay.
Very bizarre. But now he's gone. So now the odds are even more dire.
Yes. They're in some dire straits.
As Wade would say, Orton and Cena were not pleased. Well, I can imagine.
Right.
All right, so Cena comes in, and some blah, blah, blah happens, and he makes Otunga tap out.
Uh-huh, of course.
And then Gabriel comes in with the 450, and Cena's gone.
Hell yes. And I was totally, how can you not be happy about that?
Great. How great is that?
And that's not even like an anti-Cena sentiment coming out of me. It's just, it's cool that he finally got beat by somebody in Nexus, and that it was Justin Gabriel, who we all seem to like.
Yes.
And who's got a cool finisher.
Yes, he does.
Yep.
Yeah, he's the second best guy in the group, I would say.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, so after that, Orton comes in. RKO on Gabriel. He's gone.
Yep.
RKO on Tarver, and he's gone.
Uh-huh.
And then Barrett hits his... Was that the Dominator?
Oh, I don't recall. His finisher, the over-the-head slam.
Yeah.
Like the inverted Tatanka. The inverted Papoose to go.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, so then he hits that and pins Orton, and Barrett is the sole survivor.
There you go.
And it was very quick.
Right.
For a 5-on-5 elimination match, it was lightning fast.
Well,
so that
to me, that
my...
they could have added 47 seconds to the match by not having that tag match earlier.
No shit, right?
Yep.
And the women's match, it could have just been the promo at the end. They didn't
yeah.
need the match.
No.
So.
No, a confrontation would have been fine there. Yeah, I mean, and the other thing, too, is I agree with Wade Barrett winning because, A, he should, B, he can,
yeah.
and C,
yeah.
he's in the Night of Champions six-pack challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I just worried that it was too little too late. I mean, everyone was clamoring for a Nexus win at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
It's like, how smart is it anymore to have somebody lose before they win, then go into a championship scenario?
Right.
But he got his win on national TV in a main event.
Hey, kudos for that. I
yeah.
think it's a little too late, but I don't know.
Yeah, my gut says it's too late.
Okay, well, since it's getting late in the audio, let's switch gears to next.
Yeah.
We're down to the final three, Cavall, Alex Riley, and Joe McGillicuddy. You had a lot to say about this. What do you got to say?
Okay, first things first. I love the fact that Michael Cole and Josh Matthews were so honest in their commentary. That's been one of the highlights of this show
yes.
for me from the beginning of season one.
Yes.
They seem to be having fun with each other even when they're taking shots at each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really saying what we're thinking. When guys are cutting promos, like when Lucky Cannon spoke from ringside,
yeah.
and he tried to cut that heelish promo, and Michael Cole's like, oh, so he's a bad guy all of a sudden?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was great. Michael McGillicuddy cuts his terrible, fucking, drawn-out, awful, stumbling, mumbling promo where
yeah.
he said something about being eliminated today.
Mm-hmm.
That killed me. When Michael McGillicuddy
yeah.
said it happened today.
Yeah.
You don't say shit happens today in wrestling.
Right.
Everything happens at night in professional wrestling.
Tonight.
Tonight. That alone was enough to fucking disqualify him, but his whole promo was terrible. And then Michael Cole said so. He was like, well, that was awful, or whatever he said. And then Cavall cut a really good promo, and Cole was like, wow, that was pretty good.
Right.
Yeah. So I love the announcing. I love it. Josh Matthews is about 10 times as orange as Hulk Hogan, though, and that really has me worried.
Yeah, me too.
Cancer is serious, and I really think Josh Matthews needs to go to WebMD and read up on that.
Yep.
I really like Alex
also
Riley.
Grow your hair back, dummy.
Yeah, he looks like a doofus. Summer's over. You look like a fucking 10-year-old boy right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I really like Alex Riley being eliminated first because it gave him a chance to cut a great promo.
Yeah, it really did. Yes.
That
and he kind of,
placement.
You know, speaking of carrying yourself like a star, he really did there.
He did there, and he has all season. He,
yep.
I don't care if he came in third, he is destined for greatness in WWE.
Totally agree.
Foregone conclusion. Michael McGillicuddy rightfully cut. Maybe he's better than I give him credit for, and he just hasn't shown it yet. And I know Jordan really liked his work in Florida Championship Wrestling, but that's like being
really
pretty many waitress. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That promo that he cut afterwards was almost as bad as the one he cut beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not believe that he was actually angry. It looked
right.
like he was acting. Cavall winning was fantastic. And this is what I wanted to get into with the Daniel Bryan Cavall team.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me is wondering if they're doing this thing with Daniel Bryan and giving Cavall the win to give us I'll say us when I mean internet fans, the internet kids. We're the people that Michael Cole says he hates.
Uh-oh.
To give us these little nuggets to make us think that they're going to maybe push these guys.
Right.
But then the swerve, the curveball, excuse me, is going to come a couple years down the road when they really do push these guys. And then we can say that we were right all along, and it's awesome that WWE finally came around to our point of view and came to their senses when that was their
right.
plan all along.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to Kevin about this. I'm like, you know, WrestleMania 20 was the big Benoit Guerrero celebration.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what are the odds that WrestleMania 30 could be the Daniel Bryan Cavall celebration?
Very possible.
It's possible. I realize the odds are better that it won't happen. At this stage in Bryan and Cavall's careers, I don't see them as WrestleMania main eventers, whereas this stage
right.
of Benoit's and Guerrero's, I would have predicted, yeah, more likely.
Sure.
But I do love the fact that these two are getting pushed little by little by little, and you can tell
yeah.
that WWE is behind them.
At the very least, I think this makes the mid-card strong again.
Oh, yeah. For the couple of years that they're going to be in the mid-card, Daniel Bryan
yeah.
feuding with Miz, Cavall trying to hold his own against Michael McGillicuddy and the rest of Genesis.
Oh.
Yeah, that little, like, the Genesis of McGillicuddy thing that he said during his promo.
Mm-hmm.
He said that right before all the guys ran in to attack him, to attack Cavall.
Wow.
So a little bit of me thinks we're going to have another faction. Kevin
Seeking to have invisible touch. He reaches in and grabs Ryan Polio.
Kevin seems to think that this faction could happen on SmackDown, which would be good for those guys and good for SmackDown.
I think it would have to be on SmackDown. That makes
yeah.
total sense.
Yep, Raw is too heavy right now.
It's much too crowded. Too crowded.
Nice. So that's just a postulation, a theory, one of those
mm-hmm.
fancy words for a thought. Not even a prediction necessarily, but
well,
I love Cavall
learning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a dork. I love Cavall winning. I think he deserves it. I think he's earned it, and I think WWE is legitimately behind him. And we're going to see that play out over the next 3 years.
Sure.
I love Riley cutting an awesome promo and proving that he will be a future star. I'm okay with the potential faction with the remaining guys, even though they're all a bunch of fucking jobbers. Husky Harris is awesome. Sorry, I got to give him credit. He's the breakout star of the rest of the bunch. I love the guy. I think you do not. Are you not as big of a fan as I am?
Not at all. Not at all.
Ah,
like the commercial for pork sausages that they had in the late 80s, where the guy and his son were shopping, and there was a display in the grocery store, you know, here, try a sample of this pork sausage, and he ate one, and
yeah.
he was like, he loved it, but he was like, I need many more samples, you know, right?
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to need many more samples of Husky Harris in order to warm to him.
So. I understand. And see, I love his character. And I'm iffy on his promos only because he's iffy at his promos.
Yeah, he sure is.
He sure is. He's got a charisma. He's got a charisma that can be tapped. And he, if he wanted to put his mind to it, he could do like a lot of guys done. You know what? Or even women like Trish. You know what? Go take acting lessons. Go do improv.
Go.
I think that he has the capabilities and the aptitude to turn himself into an awesome promo.
I love that he's a big guy.
Yes.
Love that.
Yeah, he's like the Trevor Murdoch of right now.
Yeah?
He's different. So, I mean, he's got that going for him in a way. It might also play against him, but then again, he's also a second-generation guy, which plays in his favor.
If Eli keeps wearing a mustache shirt, I'm going to pop huge for him. He would be my favorite.
Nice.
But
What did he say? What did he say? He actually cut a pretty funny little promo at ringside, but now I can't remember what he said.
I didn't see that part.
They're asking who should win. No one said Cavall, but he said Michael McGillicuddy, I think, because of something. Or fuck, maybe he said Alex Riley because of something.
Okay.
We'll all go back and watch, and we'll kick ourselves for not remembering.
Eli gave it up for Riley.
Okay. Well, so at some point or other, one of us will remember what it was, and then we'll come back next week and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that's my opinions of the finale. Those are my opinions of the NXT finale. The right person won, and I think that they're moving forward in a pretty decent direction. I really think Alex Riley should be on his own at this point. And
yeah,
that Michael McGillicuddy, if he's really this pissed, should be the one with the cronies.
Yeah.
But Riley deserves to be on his own.
We'll see. I don't know if they'll do that.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I don't, only because I'm personally running out of time. I don't know if I want to go over everybody in NXT Season 3.
No. I want to go over two people.
Okay, well, I have two thoughts.
I mean,
really.
I literally want to go over one of them, if you know what I mean.
You do. Yeah, I need a job. I need a hand job, baby.
Tremendous. Yeah. So if you're listening, Jamie Keys, you have the best fucking body.
Yeah, that's literally. Yeah, I wanted to say two things, and one of them is Jamie Keys is so fucking hot, I can't stand myself. The other thing. NXT is dead after this season. The ratings are going to tank. As soon as I heard it was all women, I'm like, I don't want to watch. Luckily
yeah,
for them,
no,
Jamie Keys is
nauseates me.
Yeah. Well, luckily Jamie Keys is going to be on. Now I want to watch.
My God.
But you have somebody else in mind, and let's not lie. There's going to be a little bit of there's going to be a little feuding and a fuss in here because Jeremy likes this chick too.
He legitimately wants to jump her bones.
Yeah, her large, large bones.
The artist formerly known as Isis, I can't even remember what they're calling her now.
Aloysia.
Aloysia, yes.
Yeah.
She is billed at, 6'9"?
Yes.
And has done dominatrix work in the past?
I wouldn't doubt it with those huge tits and the way she dressed herself. She looked like she could have been a dominatrix in a past life.
Absolutely. So.
I did like, that was actually one of my favorite things on commentary was when they came back from her vignette, Cole was
mm-hmm.
like, I wish the camera was on Josh Matthews. You should have seen his jaw hit the floor. His jaw would have hit the floor, except that he was fucking sitting inside of Aloysius' pocket.
So it really just hit the bottom of her pocket. Yeah.
Yeah, really it did. Jaw meets denim when Josh Matthews sees Aloysia. Big broad. You know what, though? I hope this pans out for him. I'm sorry, they could have gotten Samoa Joe, but they took Umaga, who I loved, but he's dead. They could have taken Awesome Kong, and they have Aloysia. I've heard she's not very good.
No, she's not.
But I'm intrigued.
That never stopped him before. Yep.
That's right.
So,
otherwise, yeah, this is the death for NXT, but it is what it is.
It is. This is the last we'll have of NXT. But
yeah, I like Goldust.
Jamie Keys wins. That'll be worth it then.
Yeah, I like Goldust being a pro. I'm having a somewhat hard time wrapping my head around Vicky Guerrero being a pro, except for the fact that she gets more heat than 99% of the men.
Slimer.
Fucking Slimer. Fucking Scott Slimer Hall.
So she's going to have Isis drink the Ecto Cooler. Like, power
graphic
up in the middle.
Yes, that graphic they showed after her vignette. Little tiny Vicky Guerrero down in the corner and humongous Aloysia looming over her.
Yep.
I love the way they do that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I hate to do this, and I realize that this turned into sort of an abbreviated conversation on everything, but we pretty much nailed every point that needed to be nailed.
Yep.
So I think I'm going to go ahead and sign off before I get a fucking entire weekend's worth of stink eye.
Oh, shit. Wow. But, well, yeah, you know, I'm lucky that I have a girl who will sleep through it. So, anyway.
Nice.
All right.
Well, hey, I'll do a better job if anyone has any more thoughts, or I'm not asking if anyone wants me to expand on my thoughts, because fuck that, you people don't care. But if anyone else wants some good discussion, I will be on the forum more often. I'm excited about that. So that's my last thought. Forum's awesome. Check us out if you haven't yet. Just go to the SG forum tab at the top of our webpage and join and talk to us, and it's a blast. And now this is the point where I sign off.
All right. Well, for Eric Nelson, for the Stink Eye, and for Officer Coon, I am Dusty Giebink, and this has been Stunt Granny Audio number 112, and we will try to do better next time.
You told my story.